This is Ronald Coleman, inviting you to radio's most dramatic half hour, Favorite Story. The old Moulmein pagoda looking eastward to the sea. There's a Burma girl a setting, and I know she thinks of me. Unless, of course, she's thinking of Nelson Eddy, who sings this far better than I can. But anyway, as you and I know, and Mr. Eddy certainly knows, Rudyard Kipling is best known for his ballads and verses. As the spokesman of the British soldier, his On the Road to Mandalay, his Gunga Din, the native water bearer, and Danny Deever, forever getting hanged in the morning, these must be familiar to millions all over the world. Kipling was also an undisputed master of the short story. In addition to one or two novels, The Light That Failed perhaps being the best known, he filled many volumes with colorful and varied tales. One delightful story is of such stuff as dreams are made of. And this week we will hear The Brushwood Boy. We're grateful to that fine actor, Mr. Humphrey Bogart, for naming this famous Kipling tale his favorite story. Claude Sweeten, we are ready for the opening music of The Brushwood Boy. A child of three sat up in his crib and screamed at the top of his voice, his fists clenched and his eyes full of terror. At first no one heard, for his nursery was in the west wing, and the nurse was talking to a gardener among the laurels. Then the housekeeper passed that way and hurried to soothe him, for he was her special pet.
There, what is it then? What is it then? There's nothing to frighten him, Georgie dear.
It was a policeman. I saw him in the meadow. His name was Policeman Day. He came here.
Now you close your eyes again and try to sleep. Here, take my hand. No policeman is going to hurt my Georgie.
Where's your hand, Harper?
That was the beginning of the dream. It started in terror. And because he was frightened, he found himself a place in the dream, which was a haven of protection. Oh, it wasn't much of anything. A pile of brushwood stacked somewhere near a beach. But it was the starting off place of each boyhood dream, and the finishing place, a place to run back to from the dark, from the depth. And when he was about six, he developed a fantastic imagination so that he hardly listened each night while Harper read to him from Grimm's Fairy Tales. His own mind was racing on ahead.
And they lived happily forever after. And that is the story of Snow White and Rose Red.
Is this her picture? The picture of the princess?
There she is, Snow White.
What's her real name?
Well, it doesn't give that. But it might be Helen or Gertrude or Marilyn.
The names I like are Annie and Louise.
Why, where did you ever hear those names?
Could there be a name like Annie and Louise? One name, Annie and Louise?
Oh, it's not likely. Well, that's all the stories for tonight. Oh, and let me tell you one thing, young man. If you go meddling with the flower pots again, there'll be no more stories. Understand now? You're strictly forbidden to touch the flower pots.
Hurriedly, he closed his eyes so he could drift into dreamland, where adventures were unlimited. And houses full of grown-up people could be pushed over with a touch of the finger. And every dream began at the brushwood pile.
Hello there, boy.
But you're the girl in the picture. In Grimm's Fairy Tale.
No, I'm not, silly. My name's Annie Ann Louise.
Of course. I knew it would be.
How wonderful you were, Prince Georgie. With all the dragons and the giants.
Well, it was nothing.
There's the most beautiful lily floating out there on the dream sea. Would you get it for me, Prince?
Certainly, Princess Annie Ann Louise. I'll get in this little boat and get it this instant. What's the matter with the boat? What's the matter with four, and there's a lily in each one for Annie and Louise.
Occasionally in his waking life, George found an adventure to match his dream, like the time the housekeeper took him to a play. It was very exciting, seeing live actors on a stage, grown-ups pretending. And Georgia decided that dreams were very much like the theater, or perhaps the theater was very much like dream. Between the scenes, he cast about him for amusement. Next to him sat a little girl dressed all in black, her hair combed off her forehead exactly like the girl in Alice in Wonderland. The little girl looked at Georgie, and Georgie looked at her. There seemed to be no need for further introduction.
I got a cut on my thumb. I did it with a real knife.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Let me look, please.
Master Georgie, you mustn't talk to strange little girls.
She isn't strange. She's very nice. I like her. I showed her my new cut.
The idea. You change seats with me.
That night, it seemed natural that Annie and Louise at the brushwood pile would not look like Snow White or the Rapunzel, Let Down Your Hair Princess, Gold Crown, Grim Edition, and all, but like Alice in Wonderland, with her black hair combed off her forehead and the warm glow in her eyes.
Hello, Annie and Louise.
Hello, boy.
Listen. What beautiful music. It's as if someone was playing the piano. Way over there on the lost continent, on the other side of the Sea of Dreams.
You know, I think I'll remember that music always.
It's going away. He's washing away the music.
Oh, but we'll remember it, boy. And so it'll always be there.
Come, Annie and Louise, close to the brushwood pile, and the sea will wash us away, too.
The years have a way of passing, and men become boys, grown tall. 10 years at an English public school don't encourage dreaming. And if occasionally George Carter did dream of a girl, of a lost continent, a dream sea, and wonderful music, well, he never spoke of it. For public school training teaches you to keep your paws open and your mouth shut. The regular working of the empire shifted his world to India, where he tasted utter loneliness and heat and peace.
Lieutenant Carter?
Yes? Oh, good evening, Doctor.
The adjutant asked me to look in on you. How are you feeling?
Fairly fit, sir.
Just fairly. You look a bit feverish to me. Open your mouth and I'll take your temperature. And lecture you at the same time.
Hmm?
There. Now, you can't answer back. You're a good lad, Carter. Kind of young officer we like. But India's a treacherous place. You can't work here all the time. Have a bit of fun occasionally. Why, half the women at this station would give their eyes to have you in tow.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, no back talk, you'll break the thermometer. Now, let's have a look at that. You've got a touch of fever, all right. Report to the dispensary for some quinine. And keep checking with me. I don't want this to get out of hand.
Yes, sir.
Carry him in here. Quick now, man.
Oh.
Where have you been, Carter? I've looked all over the post for you.
So hot. So hot. Annie and Louise, where are you? Help me find the brushwood pile.
Hmm?
I'll be fine if I can only reach the brushwood pile. It's safe there. Safe.
He's delirious.
Annie and Louise. Annie and Louise.
Hello, boy.
Annie and Louise. You've come to help me.
Yes, boy.
Oh, how changed you are. You're all grown up. And so beautiful. You still look like Alice in Wonderland. But you're a lady.
If you grew up, boy, I couldn't stay behind.
Where's the brushwood pile? It's safe there. And cool by the dream sea where the music plays.
It's 30 miles. Climb on that horse and we'll ride together.
Oh, can we get there in time? This heat is so terrible. It will burn me up.
Close your eyes and ride. And soon we'll see the white sand of the beach. You're sure to get there. Sure, you'll just ride. Close your eyes and soon we'll see the brushwood pile.
Ride. Ride. There it is. Our brushwood pile. We're safe. Safe from Policeman Day. And the heat. And the fever. Oh, thank you, Annie and Louise.
It's the music from the last tournament.
How cool it is by the brushwood pile. How safe and how cool. Annie and Louise, would you kiss me?
Oh, yes.
It's all gone. The heat's all gone. Oh, I love you, Annie and Louise. It's all gone.
All gone, Carter. Fever's broken.
Doctor.
I've finally figured out why you'll have no part of the ladies at the post. While you were delirious, you talked constantly of two girls. Girls back home, are you?
Girls?
Yes. One's name is Annie and one's Louise.
Oh, it's the same girl. Just one girl. Annie and Louise.
Well, when you get your leave, go home and marry her. Seems to have pulled you through this bad spell.
Yes. But she doesn't exist. Except at the brushwood pile.
Where?
I... No place, Doctor. She doesn't exist. She's not alive. She's only a dream.
Bringing you Humphrey Bogart's favorite story, The Brushwood Boy, by Rudyard Kipling. Dramatized and directed by Lawrence and Lee, with Virginia Weidler and Elliot Reed as our leading players. Here's Act Two. Dreams can be wonderful things, and George Cutter found his recurring dream a way to escape from the heat of India and the humdrum routine of daily life. The dream was always the same. He found himself sliding into dreamland by the same road, a road that ran along a beach near a pile of brushwood. To the right lay the sea, sometimes at full tide, sometimes withdrawn to the very horizon. But he knew it for the same sea. By that road, he would travel over a swell of rising ground into valleys of wonder and unreason. Once there, he was sure of a good night's rest, and he knew he would meet the girl and hear music that seemed to come from the stars themselves. First, shadowy under closing eyelids, would come the outline of the brushwood pile. Next, the white sand of the beach road, almost overhanging the black, changeful sea. He told himself he was sure to get there, sure to get there, if he shut his eyes and surrendered to the drift of things. All he wanted was to get to the brushwood pile and leave behind him the dull, wide-awake, sultry world. And suddenly, he was there, in a magic, cool, lovely world, and she was standing beside him. And the music they heard was a lullaby, a love song.
Annie and Louise, will I ever find you? Will I ever find you?
And at long last, George Cotter, Captain Cotter now, earned a leave and headed home to England, which seemed a strange land to him, nowhere near as familiar as the Lost Continent and the Sea of Dreams and the Brushwood Pile.
George, George, it's so wonderful to have you home.
Oh, everything's the same, Mother. Not a thing's changed.
Our changes are all over, dear. And pretty soon I'll get used to all your changes. Your size and your tan.
Oh, everything in the old place smells the same and sounds the same and looks the same.
There's someone who's waiting to see you. He's bursting to see you.
Who?
The housekeeper.
Harper? She's still here?
He's waiting at the door. I'll call her.
Come in, Harper. Here's our boy.
Well, mercy me.
Hello, Harper.
Nice, you're not any place, Master Georgie.
Well, Lord, it's been a long time.
Welcome home, Master Georgie. Welcome home.
Oh, you mustn't call him Master Georgie, Harper. It's Captain now. And Major, too, before long.
Oh, I'll never be able to think of him as Major Georgie. Not ever. Oh, to think I rocked Dad to sleep. Oh, you were quite the boy with all your dreams. What a dreamer you were as a top, Georgie. Oh, but I'll wager you don't even remember that. Those Rin men don't have no time for dreaming.
No, Harper, I suppose not.
Well, you and your ma will be having plenty to talk about. I'll go and see if Cook is fixing you something you can't get in India.
Oh, thank you, Harper.
All I can't understand is how you've managed to come back single. And you so good-looking, Master. Captain Georgie.
I suppose Harper's right. You will be turning up some fine day with a girl under your arm. That is, if you haven't one already.
Well, make your mind easy, Mother. I haven't a girl.
Well, then I must see that you meet every eligible girl in the county. We shall have a party, a dance, and invite every blessed one of them.
Oh, Mother, no fuss, please. And no girls. Promise?
It's your vacation, George. Oh.
What's wrong?
There will be one girl about, but she'll stay out of your way. And if you prefer, I'll call her off.
Who, Mother?
Well, her name is Miriam Lacey. The Laceys live just down the road.
Lacey? I don't remember that name.
Well, they moved in a short while after you went to India, dear. Oh, they're lovely. And Miriam's a fine girl. She's a musician. She composes. And they're without a piano, so I've been letting her use our one.
Well, Mother, if you don't mind, I'm going to steer clear of her. I hope you won't think it impolite.
Oh, not at all, George. You won't even see her. She'll be busy with her music.
Fine. I don't know. I just don't like the idea of having to be gracious to unknown females.
You just please yourself, dear.
George did all the things that please a young heart on a vacation. Fished in familiar spots he had known since he was 3 feet high. Walked in the sunlight through well-remembered gaps in the hedges. Ate all the things adoring women make and men never notice. And then, one day, he came back into the house and heard someone at the piano.
Mother! Who's that playing?
Why, it's Miriam, dear.
I've got to talk to her.
George, what's wrong? Why are you looking so strange?
Stop it. Stop playing. Where did you hear that melody?
Why, I don't understand.
George, what's come over you? I've never known you to act this way.
Where did you come from?
George, this is Miss Lacey. This is Miriam. My son, George, Miriam.
How do you do?
That melody you were just playing. What is it?
Well, it's one of Miriam's compositions, dear. She's played it for us before. Isn't it lovely?
It's not her composition. She didn't write it.
George, apologize this instant.
Oh, I don't mean to be insulting, but where did you hear it? You have heard it, haven't you?
George! Miriam, I apologize. I'm sorry.
Mrs. Cotter, your son is right. I did hear it somewhere. But not really, you see.
Where?
You've made her cry, George.
Where did you hear it? I've got to know.
Well, you see, I thought anything belonged to me that I heard, like inspiration in a dream.
Oh. The girl ran from the room, the tears streaming down her face. And George Cotter went out into the sunlight to try and puzzle it out. In the daylight, where dreams seemed unreal. This was the girl. This was Annie Ann Louise, the girl by the brushwood pile. But it couldn't be happening. The whole coincidence was crazy lunacy. So the next day, he decided he had to talk to her, sanely, face to face.
Miss Lacey, I invited you to ride with me so that we can talk. I'm afraid I owe you an apology.
No, you don't. I accepted your invitation because I must learn how you knew my most secret thought.
Well, it's so difficult to say even the most simple things in broad daylight. Shall we have a ride?
If you like.
Go, boy! Ah, how wonderfully you ride. I've only seen a girl ride like that once before. It was a 30-mile ride.
What did you say?
A 30-mile ride.
Whoa! Whoa, boy! Mr. Cotter, I must dismount or I shall fall off. Let's walk, please.
If you like.
Why, you're trembling.
How did you know about the 30-mile ride? I've never told a living soul.
I was there, with you.
I don't understand. It's dreams. All dreams.
The music you played. I've heard it many times, almost every night.
From the Lost Continent.
Do you call it that, too?
Incredible. You're the boy. The brushwood boy.
Yes. I'm the brushwood boy.
I've known you all my life.
All the dreams were too vivid to be merely dreams. They were multiplied by two. We were there together.
It's not possible. This sort of thing doesn't happen.
What do you remember first?
A policeman in a meadow. Policeman Day.
Yes.
Then the brushwood pile by the dream sea. And some lovely lilies that you went to get for him.
That's it.
But the little boat disappeared. And I cried.
Yes.
Because I thought my brushwood boy was drowning.
Do you remember what you said?
Oh, yes.
What's the matter with the boat? Yes. And do you remember the name I called you?
Oh, of course. It was... Oh, but I might. You called me Annie and Louise.
Yes.
But...
Don't be frightened. I love you, Miriam. I love you, Annie and Louise.
Oh, brushwood boy. How's your finger? Is it still cut?
No, little Alice in Wonderland. Oh, I knew I would meet you someday. I've never kissed anyone before.
You've never loved anyone else? Why, every woman in India must have loved you from the very minute they saw you.
Never anyone, but Annie Ann Louise, by the brushwood pile. What shall we do? We shall have to go through the proper periods of time to get engaged. We shall have to act formal before everyone else.
I won't know what to do when I see you in a parlor. How will I act? What does one do when a dream comes to life?
Now, we'll have this wonderful secret of the brushwood pile for ourselves. Only for ourselves.
But what does it mean? Oh, brushwood boy, what does it mean?
Perhaps when we die, we may find out more. Perhaps... We've had a glimpse of that special world of immortality. Come, take my hand and hold on. Never let go. And some distant day, we shall find out together.
Rudyard Kipling's memorable tale, The Brushwood Boy, the favorite story of Mr. Humphrey Bogart. Our congratulations to Virginia Weidler and Elliot Reed for their splendid performances, and to Claude Sweeten for the enchantment of his music. We've never presented a story by the great Balzac on this series, so next week we're bringing you one of his very best. It's in The Time of the Terror. An adventure of two women and a mysterious stranger in the dark days of the French Revolution. We hope you'll be listening.